அன்பார்ந்த சமுதாய வானொலி நேயர்களே, நீங்கள் கேட்டுக்கொண்டிருப்பது 107.4 மெகா ஹெர்ட்ஸ் அலைவரிசையில் கோயம்புத்தூர் தமிழ்நாடு வேளாண்மை பல்கலைக்கழகத்தின் விவசாயி FM. நேயர்களே, அண்மையில் நமது தமிழ்நாடு வேளாண்மை பல்கலைக்கழகத்தின் 32வது பட்டமளிப்பு விழா மேதகு தமிழக ஆளுநர் முனைவர் கே ரோசையா அவர்களின் தலைமையில் மிகச் சிறப்பாக நடைபெற்றது. இந்த பட்டமளிப்பு விழாவில் பல்வேறு மாணவர்களுக்கு முதுநிலைப்பட்டம், முதுகலைப்பட்டம், இளநிலைப்பட்டம் ஆகியவை வழங்கப்பட்டன. பல்வேறு துறைகளில் சிறந்து விளங்கிய மாணவர்களுக்கு பாராட்டுகளும் பரிசுகளும் வழங்கப்பட்டன. மேலும் ஆந்திர பிரதேசத்தின் வருவாய் நிவாரணம், மறுவாழ்வு மற்றும் நகர்ப்புற நில உச்சவரம்புத்துறை அமைச்சர் திரு என் ரகுவீர ரெட்டி அவர்களுக்கும், சென்னை திரு ஆரூரான் சர்க்கரை நிறுவனத்தின் தலைவர் மற்றும் மேலாண்மை இயக்குநர் திரு ஆர் வி தியாகராஜன் அவர்களுக்கும் நமது பல்கலைக்கழகத்தின் சார்பில் கௌரவ டாக்டர் பட்டம் வழங்கப்பட்டது. மத்திய திட்டக்குழு உறுப்பினர் முனைவர் கே கஸ்தூரி ரங்கன் சிறப்பு விருந்தினராக கலந்து கொண்டு பட்டமளிப்பு விழா உரை நிகழ்த்தினார். நிகழ்ச்சியில் தமிழக வேளாண்மைத்துறை அமைச்சரும் தமிழ்நாடு வேளாண்மை பல்கலைக்கழகத்தின் இணை வேந்தருமான அமைச்சர் சே தாமோதரன் அவர்கள் புதிய அற நல்கை பரிசுகளையும் பதக்கங்களையும் அறிவித்தார். நேயர்களே, பட்டமளிப்பு விழாவின் வானொலி தொகுப்பினை இப்போது கேட்கலாம். முதலில் வரவேற்புரை நிகழ்த்திய நமது பல்கலைக்கழகத்தின் துணைவேந்தர், இந்தியாவில் உள்ள 56 வேளாண்மை பல்கலைக்கழகங்களில் நமது பல்கலைக்கழகம் முன்னோடியாக திகழ்கிறது என்று குறிப்பிட்டார். கல்வி, ஆராய்ச்சி மற்றும் விரிவாக்கம் ஆகிய 3 துறைகளிலும் சிறந்து விளங்குவது பற்றி நமது துணைவேந்தர் எடுத்து கூறியதை கேட்போம்.
His Excellency, Governor of Tamil Nadu and the Chancellor of Tamil Nadu Agriculture University, the Honorable Minister for Agriculture, Government of Tamil Nadu and the Pro-Chancellor of Tamil Nadu Agriculture University, renowned ISRO scientist Dr. K. Kasturi Rangan, Member Planning Commission, Government of India and the Chief Guest of this 32nd Convocation, the Special Guest of to be conferred the Honors Kashia, the Honorable Minister for Revenue, Government of Andhra Pradesh, Sri Raghuveera Reddy Garu, Chairman and Managing Director, Thiru Aruran Sugars, Sri R. V. Thyagarajan, distinguished members of the Board of Management, members of the Academic Council, Research and Extension Education Council, government officials, retired scientists, office bearers of the different associations, faculty members, university officers, graduate of the year, dear students and their parents, mass media, distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen, good evening to all. I take a great privilege, extend a warm welcome to all of you for this 32nd convocation of the Tamil Nadu Agricultural University. Indeed, I feel elated to welcome His Excellency, Governor of Tamil Nadu and the Chancellor of this university to this 32nd convocation. Tamil Nadu Agricultural University in-depth His Excellency, who has kindly consented to preside over this convocation. Born in an agriculture family, the most respected statesman is well known for his simplicity and integrity. He had held several important portfolios in the state government, has also served as a chief minister of Andhra Pradesh. He has presented the state budget of Andhra Pradesh for a record of 16 times. He has conferred with Honors Kashia by Andhra University in the year 2007. The university looks forward to receive constant encouragement, inspiration from His Excellency to achieve greater heights in the 3 mandates of our agriculture university: education, research and extension. It is also a great honor and privilege to wholeheartedly welcome our Honorable Minister for Agriculture and the Pro-Chancellor of Tamil Nadu Agriculture University to this 32nd convocation. The Honorable Minister for Agriculture hails from an agriculture family belongs to Nallikondam Palayam Pollachi Taluk Coimbatore districts. It's a matter of pride of the Tamil Nadu Agriculture University to be guided by a pro chancellor who was a farmer and by profession is holding the right portfolio to serve the farming community from the core of his heart. Since our honorable minister himself a farmer is able to understand the grassroots level problems of the farmers, he also assured that he will take the necessary action to ensure that the quality inputs like seeds, fertilizer, biopesticides, biofertilizers and inputs with the reach the farmers at right time without any privilege. I feel honored and delighted to welcome Dr. Kasturirangan, Member Planning Commission, Government of India. Dr. Kasturirangan was the Director of the National Institute of Advanced Studies at Bangalore from 2001 to 9, and he is a honorary professor of physics, physical research laboratory at Ahmedabad and the Jawaharlal Nehru Center for Advanced Research Institute at Bangalore. He was a member in the upper house of Indian Parliament from 2002 to 2009. He is presently member in the Science Planning Commission of India for over 9 years until 2003. That Kasturirangan steered the Indian Space Program as a chairman of this Indian Space Research Organization. Under his leadership, several major milestones were achieved, including the successful launching of the India's prestigious launch vehicle, the Polar Satellite Launch Vehicle, that is PSLV, and also Geochromatis Satellite Launch Vehicle, GSLV, the development and the launching of some of the world's best civilian remote sensing satellite, IRS-1C and 1D, new generation of insect communication satellite and ocean observation satellite, IRS, P3 and P4. He has won several awards, including Bloch Medal for the International Society of the Photogrammetry and Remote Sensing, Alan D. Email Memorial Award for the International Academy of Astronautics, France, the Lifetime Achievement Award for Asian Pacific Satellite Communication Council, Singapore, Vikram Sarabhai Memorial Gold Medal. He has also been conferred with the highest civilian honors of Padma Shri, Padma Bhushan and Padma Vibhushan. He also received the award of Officer of the Legion d'Honneur by the President of the French Republic. Indeed, it is a matter and a great pride have you, sir, as a chief guest of this 32nd convocation of the Tamil Nadu Agricultural University. And I am as much pleased to welcome the special guest of this convocation, Sri N. Raghuveera Reddy Karlu, Honorable Minister for Revenue, Relief, Rehabilitation, Urban and Land Sealing, the Government of Andhra Pradesh, and Sri R. V. Thyagarajan, Chairman and Managing Director, Thiruvaruvaran Sugars Limited, Chennai. I am greatly honored to extend a warm welcome to all the honorable ministers of Andhra Pradesh and Tamil Nadu and distinguished guests and the member of parliament and member of the legislative assembly. I take the pleasure to welcome the Agriculture Production Commissioner and the Principal Secretary of the Government of Tamil Nadu, Mr. Sandeep Saxena, IAS, Commissioner of Agriculture, D. Manivasan, IAS, Commissioner of Horticulture, Mr. Vasagi, IAS, the academic and the distinguished member of the Board of Member, Academic Council, Research and Extension Councils of this university, the officials of the line departments, university officers, scientists and other members, retired persons, progressive farmers, graduate and their parents, student friends and mass media personnel. Today, the Tamil Nadu Agriculture University stands as a national leader in agriculture and retains the position as the most prestigious among the 56 state agriculture university in the country. The university is a forerunner in the three mandates of teaching, research and education. There are 11 colleges, 6 diploma institutes, 41 departments, 36 research stations, 14 Krishi Vignan Kendra. The university also provides affiliation to 5 agriculture colleges to offer degree programs, 5 agriculture institutes to offer diploma courses. The university offers 13 undergraduate courses, 30 postgraduate courses, 29 doctoral programs, besides 1 UG dual program and 2 PG dual programs. They offered with the collaboration with the Nova Scotia Agriculture College, Canada, and the Cornell University, US. The current year, the Horticulture College and Research Institute for Women was started 18th July 2011 with 40 women students at Srirangam Constituency, Trichy, by our Honorable Chief Minister of Tamil Nadu. The Tamil Nadu is also introducing a new undergraduate degree program for BSc Sericulture and two master degree programs for M.Tech in Nanoscience and Technology, M.Tech Agriculture Engineering, Environmental and Engineering. TNA also initiated dual educational program in collaboration with the National Institute of Plant Health Management, Hyderabad. Tamil Nadu Agriculture University, 23 students from foreign countries are undergoing MSc PG programs, 6 students undergoing PhD programs, among one of them from the United States of America, 3 from Egypt, 3 from Nepal, 20 students from African countries. The current 2 students from Nigeria and Tanzania got admitted to pursue the MSc program. The TNA also offers many correspondent courses through Directorate of Open and Distance Learning. At present, we are having 21 certificate courses in Tamil, 9 certificate courses in English, 3 PG diploma and 3 PG degree programs being offered. An exclusively 3-year degree program for Bachelor of Farm Technology in Tamil medium had been started in 2010 exclusively for farmers as the first kind in India. So far, 400 farmers have enrolled in this program. This program has received a nationwide appreciation. Research is the second mandate of our university. Research agenda includes crop improvement, crop management, crop protection, farm mechanization, post-harvest technology, water technology, climate research, marketing extension, and research is carried for a specific crops like rice, cotton, maize, sugarcane, castor, tapioca, oilseeds, pulses, coconut, and horticulture crops like fruits and vegetables. As a result of the dedicated research, so far, the Tamil Nadu Agriculture University has released 763 crop varieties, 151 farm implements, and thousands of management technology have been released from this university from the inception to till date for the benefit of the farming community. The biocontrol of a papaya mealybug during 2010-11 is a major success for the Tamil Nadu Agriculture University. Actually, papaya mealybug caused severe problems in 2009-10. IPM measures adopted could not be completely control the problem. Subsequently, the hypermetron parasitized Acerophagus papaya was imported through National Biological Control of Bangalore. Mass production of the parasites were taken up in 7 college campuses, 36 research stations and 14 KVK, and supplied the farmers free of cost. So far, 2.2 million parasites have been released in the infested fields in the districts of Tamil Nadu. Farmers are not sprayed any pesticides for the past 8 months since it killed the parasites as well. This has led savings of 163 crores of pesticides, and it's also avoided a yield loss of about 435 crores. In the last 2 years, the department was created in TNAO, which are Department of Nanoscience and Technology, Department of Plant Genetic Resources with Gene Bank, Department of Remote Sensing and Geographic Information System, Department of Trade and Property and the Intellectual Right, Department of Medicinal and Aromatic Plants. Tamil Nadu Agriculture University is collaborating with the Department of Agriculture has established 224 automatic weather station through National Agriculture Development Program funding. For this network, 224 automatic weather station, the 10 types of agriculture related weather parameters are collected at hourly intervals and posted the website of TNAO. The minimum range weather forecast developed using these weather parameters also hosted. Using this information, the agriculture officers can develop weather-based agro advisories at block level for the farmers. In the remaining 161 blocks, the automatic weather station, the install will be end before the 31st March of 2012. The Regional Agriculture Fair of the Southern State was jointly organized by Tamil Nadu Agriculture University and Kodisia. The Kodisia Trade Fair Complex on 30th September 2010 to 3-10-2010. farmers from Kerala, Karnataka, Andhra Pradesh, Andaman Nicobar, Pondicherry, Lakshadweep also attended the fair. Sri Raghuveera Reddy, then the Honorable Minister for Agriculture, Andhra Pradesh, graced the occasion and delivered the valedictory address. The State Level Farmers Day for 2011 was conducted in a grand manner from July 22 to 24, 2011 at TNAU. The Honorable Minister for Agriculture and the Pro-Chancellor of TNAU inaugurated the program and released the new crop varieties, implements and technology for the benefit of the farmers. The Honorable Minister for Industries, Government of Tamil Nadu declared open the agriculture exhibition. Technical seminar, various latest technology also simultaneously arranged for the benefit of the farmers. More than 10,000 farmers from all over the Tamil Nadu and the neighboring state participated in this program. The university extended the technical support to the Coimbatore District Small Industries Association, Kodisia, organizing the 11th successful edition of the Agri-Index 2011, which is South India's largest agriculture exhibition at Kodisia Trade Fair Complex. Dr. Ayyappan, Director General ICR and the Secretary DAR New Delhi also graced the occasion and delivered the validity address on 31st July 2011. Tamil Nadu Agriculture University also felicitated organizing a state-level agriculture exhibition daily Tamil News Magazine Dinamalar at Trichy and Velu. The community radio is an effective tool for disseminating the farm technology to the farmers. The public within the radius of 18 to 20 kilometers. Tamil monthly magazine, namely Ulavar Velanmai, with more than 10,000 subscribers have been improved with the multicolor printing and increased the font size, effectively utilized the transfer of technology to the farming community. The Tamil Nadu Agriculture University also operates daily market information, domestic and export market intelligence and agri-portal for the benefit of the farming community. In this great occasion, the 32nd convocation, I take the privilege informing this August gathering that the last 2 years, the Tamil Nadu Agriculture University has won as many as 7 awards at national level. The National KVK Award for 2009, the Indian Council of Agriculture Research, New Delhi, was presented by Her Excellency, President of India, Srimati Pratibha Patel, on 2010, December 22nd, the Udaipur, Rajasthan. The Golden Award 2011 for E-Governance Award by the Government of India was presented on 10th February 2011 at Aurangabad, Maharashtra. Krishi Shikha Award for 2011 for the Best State Agriculture University, Mahendra Mahendra Limited, Mumbai, was received on 21st February 2011 at Delhi. The Best Agri Business Directorate 2011 by the Network of Indian Agri Business Incubator, NIABI, was presented on 9th March 2011 at ICRISAT, Hyderabad. The award was presented by the Honorable Minister of Revenue, Andhra Pradesh, Raghuveera Reddy Karu, to the TNAU. The Sardar Patel Outstanding ICR Institution Award 2010 by the Indian Council of Agriculture, New Delhi, was presented on 16th July 2011, New Delhi. The Agriculture Leadership Award 2011 for Outstanding Contribution of Tamil Nadu Agriculture University by the Agriculture Today magazine was presented on 14th September 2011 at Delhi. Recently, the Best Dust Center, the State Agriculture University category, the 7th Foundation Day function of the Protection of Plant Varieties and Farmers' Rights Authority held in New Delhi, the given on 11th November 2011. I am happy to place the record that the century-old institution, Tamil Nadu Agriculture University, will continuously reinvent itself to evolve a potential agro-technology and overcome the emerging challenges as to increase the agriculture production in the state. Before I conclude, I wish to place the record my sincere thanks to His Excellency Governor and Chancellor, Honorable Minister for Agriculture and the Pro-Chancellor, the Chief Guest of this, Dr. Kasturangan, Member Planning Commission, Government of India, in the presence of the 32nd convocation. I also thank the distinguished guest and grace this convocation. I would like to thank the members of the Board of Management, Academic Council, Research and Extension Council members for their sustained interest and the guidance for the various activities of this university. I thank the mass media collectively help in giving publicity to our efforts and facilitate better reach of the stakeholders. I wish to convey my deep sense of appreciation to all the members of the faculties and other staff members and students for their kind and continued cooperation for the development of this university. I am confident with that, with our involvement and ever-growing support from the government of Tamil Nadu, the university will in a position to meet the onus, the demands of this appreciable manner. I take the opportunity to congratulate all the young graduates who are receiving the degree with the distinction, and also I wish you all a bright future. Finally, I once again welcome all of you for this 32nd convocation. Mr. Chancellor, I have the honor to request you, sir, to declare the convocation open.
This convocation of the Tamil Nadu Agricultural University has been called on to confer honorary degree of Doctor of Science on Thiru N. Raghuvira Reddy, Honorable Minister for Revenue, Relief, Rehabilitation, Urban Land Sealing, Government of Andhra Pradesh, and Thiru R. V. Chagarajan, Chairman and Managing Director, Thiru Aruran Sugars Limited, Chennai, and the degrees in the faculties of Agriculture, Horticulture, Agriculture Engineering, Forestry, and Home Science upon candidates who in the examination recently held for the purpose have been certified to be worthy of the same. I invite the Vice Chancellor to read the citation and present Thiru N. Raghuvira Reddy, Honorable Minister for Revenue, Relief, Rehabilitation, Urban Land Sealing, Government of Andhra Pradesh, and Thiru R. V. Chagarajan, Chairman and Managing Director, Thiru Aruran Sugars Limited, Chennai, for the candidature of the honorary degree of Doctor of Science.
His Excellency, Governor and Chancellor, I deem it a honor to present Thiru N. Raghuvira Reddy, Honorable Minister for Revenue, Relief, Rehabilitation, Urban and Land Sealing, Government of Andhra Pradesh, for the award of Doctor of Science Honors Causa. Sri Raghuvira Reddy, born on 12th February 1957 from a remote village, Neelakantapuram of Anandapur districts, and graduated in Science and Law from Sri Krishnadevaraya University, Anandapur. He has been a practical agriculture and his family actively involved in agriculture, the instrument for establishing a dairy unit in 1952. Itself is in Bangalore. It can be proudly said that they are the pioneers of the milk pasteurization in South India. Sri Raghuvira Reddy was keen in public services as well as the farm sector from his student days. He was the president of the student union, the SK University, Anandapur, later elected as an MLA from Madhakasha constituency, Anandapur districts, in the year 1989-2004, and from Kalyana Durgam in 2009. He has served as a Honorable Minister for Animal Husbandry, Dairy Development, Minister for Agriculture, Horticulture and Sericulture, and presently serves as a Minister for Revenue, Relief, Rehabilitation and Urban Sealing. Sri Raghuvira Reddy encouraged several progressive farmers and entrepreneurs for starting private dairies. There were fourfold increase in the dairy industry in the public sector of Andhra Pradesh when he was the Minister for Animal Husbandry and Dairy. He established 7 banks for encouraging the rural farmers to rear milch animals. He was instrumental for starting a sheep and goat rearing societies in the introduced and improved the breeds of sheep. With this sincere effort, Andhra Pradesh became the second, actually leading state in the meat production, the second position in the dairy during his tenure as a Minister for Animal Husbandry and Dairy. Sri Raghuvira Reddy was instrumental for the constitution of agriculture technology mission for the benefit of the farmers. He has taken effort to elevate farmers from the miseries by implementing the recommendations of Srimati Jayanti Ghosh Commission. BT cotton seed price was drastically reduced from 1,850 to 750 rupees per packet due to his great effort. With this, a net savings of a BT cotton seed itself is 3,600 crores per year. As a minister for agriculture, he has introduced a model farm system and the state to guide the farmers for adopting new technology. As a minister for revenue, he is firm to protect the government properties and illegal encroachment. Considering these missionaries, the tenants of the farmers, and so safeguard their interest, he has proposed a draft bill, Andhra Pradesh Land Licensed Cultivars Act 2011. With this, about 30 lakh tenant farmers benefited by the way of loan assistance, bank insurance coverage, besides a subsidized seed and inputs. Sri Raghuveer Reddy visited USA, Israel, China for the study of modern agriculture trends. He was awarded with the Best Agriculture Leadership Award in India during 2007-08 and Best Horticulture Leadership Award in India during 2009-10. The Tamil Nadu Agriculture University feels proud to place on record the very many achievements of Sri Raghuveer Reddy and is privileged to honor him. In recognition of his contribution for formulating agriculture policies, institutional development and implementing the programs for improving the livelihood of the farming community and the user of agriculture development on the recommendations of the Academic Council and Board of the Management of this university, with the approval of the Chancellor, His Excellency, the Governor of Tamil Nadu, I deem it a honor to recommend Thiru Raghuveer Reddy for the award of Doctor of Science Honors Kashia, to which I pray he may be admitted. His Excellency, the Governor and Chancellor, I deem it a honor to present Thiru R.V. Thyagarajan, Chairman and Managing Director, Thiru Aruvaran Sugars Limited, Chennai, for the award of Doctor of Science Honors Kashia. Thiru Thyagarajan graduated in 1972 with a BTech degree in the Chemical Engineering from the Indian Institute of Technology, Chennai. He obtained the MS degree, the Management, in 1974 at Solon School of Management, Maskashua Institute of Technology, USA. Thyagarajan worked with a reputed consult firm in Washington, D.C. and returned to India in the year 1982 and took over as a managing director of Thiru Aruvaran Sugars Limited. Under his leadership, the Aruvaran Sugars Limited has grown from 2,000 TCD sugar mills to around 30,000 metric ton of sugar. This firm is one of the largest sugar producers in the South India and one among the most integrated sugar producers in the whole India, with a sustainable interest in the cogeneration and distillations. Thiru Aruvaran Sugars Limited also has the distinction of having pioneered in the first large scale bagasse cogeneration venture in India with the commissioning of 18.68 megawatt project in 1995. Today, the operations of the Thiru Aruvaran Group, which includes Sri Ambiga Sugars Limited, Terra Engineering Limited, and are spread over 5 locations. More recently, the group has also aggressively promoting mechanical harvesting and drip irrigation to ensure the sustainable sugarcane cultivation and deployed to a largest fleet of 30 mechanical harvesters, the Indian sugar industry. As the president of the Indian Sugar Mills Association for 3 terms and the president of Sugar Technologies Association of India from 1991 to 93, Thiru Thyagarajan has immensely contributed for the growth of the sugar industry. Thiru Thyagarajan has been member in the MIT Solon Regional Executive Board for Europe, Middle East, South Asia and Africa since 2009. He has been conferred with the Distinguished of Alumni Award by the Indian Institute of Technology, Chennai in 1997, recognition of his achievements and the contribution of the sugar industry. The Tamil Nadu Agriculture University feels proud to place on the record very many achievements of Thyagarajan and is a privilege to honor him. In recognition of his contribution to agro-processing and agribusiness management, especially sugar industry, on the recommendation of the Academic Council and Board of Management of the University, with the approval of the Chancellor, His Excellency, the Governor of Tamil Nadu, I deem it is a honor to recommend Thiru R.V. Thyagarajan for the award of Doctor of Science Honoris Causa, to which I pray he may be admitted.
By virtue of the authority vested in me as the Chancellor of the Tamil Nadu Agricultural University, Coimbatore, I admit Thiru N. Raghuveera Reddy, Honorable Minister for Revenue, Relief, Rehabilitation, Urban Land Sealing, Government of Andhra Pradesh, and Thiru R.V. Thyagarajan, Chairman and Managing Director, Thiru Aroran Sugars Limited, Chennai, to the honorary degree of Doctor of Science in this university, and in token thereof, you have been presented with these degrees, and I authorize you to wear the robes ordained as the insignia of your degrees. I invite Thiru N. Raghuveera Reddy, Honorable Minister for Revenue, Relief, Rehabilitation, Urban Land Sealing, Government of Andhra Pradesh, and Thiru R.V. Thyagarajan, Chairman and Managing Director, Thiru Aroran Sugars Limited, Chennai, to deliver their acceptance speeches.
தொடர்ந்து ஆந்திர பிரதேச வருவாய் நிவாரணம் மறுவாழ்வு மற்றும் நகர்ப்புற உச்சவரம்புத்துறை அமைச்சர் என் ரகுவீர ரெட்டி அவர்களுக்கும், திரு ஆரூரான் சர்க்கரை நிறுவனத்தின் தலைவர் மற்றும் மேலாண்மை இயக்குநர் திரு ஆர் வி தியாகராஜன் அவர்களுக்கும் கௌரவ முனைவர் பட்டம் வழங்கப்பட்டது. ஆந்திர பிரதேச வருவாய் நிவாரணம் மறுவாழ்வு மற்றும் நகர்ப்புற உச்சவரம்புத்துறை அமைச்சர் திரு என் ரகுவீர ரெட்டி அவர்கள் கௌரவ டாக்டர் பட்டம் பெற்ற பின்பு தனது ஏற்புரையில் தமிழ்நாடு வேளாண்மை பல்கலைக்கழகத்தின் சிறப்புகளையும் அவருடைய குடும்பத்தாருக்கு நமது பல்கலைக்கழகத்தோடு இருந்த தொடர்புகளையும் பற்றி குறிப்பிட்டார். தொடர்ந்து ஆந்திர பிரதேசத்தில் ஏற்பட்டுள்ள வளர்ச்சிகளை பற்றியும் குறிப்பிட்டார். தொடர்ந்து அவர் பேசும்போது, நமது நாட்டின் மக்கள் தொகை பெருக்கம், குறைந்து வரும் வேளாண் நிலப்பரப்புகள், வேளாண்மையை பாதிக்கக்கூடிய மற்ற காரணிகள் பற்றியும் குறிப்பிட்டார். அனைத்து பிரச்சனைகளையும் தாண்டி வேளாண் உற்பத்தியை பெருக்குவதற்கு வேளாண்மை பல்கலைக்கழகங்கள் தயாராக இருக்க வேண்டும் என்றும் குறிப்பிட்டார். இறுதியாக, விவசாயியை நாம் காப்பாற்றினால் விவசாயிகள் நாட்டை காப்பாற்றுவார்கள் என்று கூறி தனது உரையை முடித்தார்.
His Excellency, the Governor of Tamil Nadu and Chancellor of Tamil Nadu Agricultural University, Dr. Panijetty Roshayaji, Distinguished Chief Guest, Honorable Member of Planning Commission of India, Dr. Kasturi Ranganji, Thiru S. Damodaranji, Honorable Minister for Agriculture, Government of Tamil Nadu, Dr. P. Murugeshan Bhupatiji, Vice Chancellor, Tamil Nadu Agriculture University, my dear Cabinet colleagues, Members of Legislative Assembly, Members of Legislative Council, distinguished teachers, scientists, dignitaries, my family members, students, press and media, friends, gracious ladies and gentlemen, a very good evening to all of you. Vanakkam. I sincerely thank the Tamil Nadu Agriculture University for conferring upon me the honoris causa. I am deeply honored by this doctorate in science, which is coming from India's leading agricultural research institution. I accept this doctorate with great humility in the name of millions of our farmers who, through their endless toil, sweat and tears, have been providing the food and nutritional security to more than a billion people of this illustrious country. I would like to convey my heartiest congratulations to the graduating students for their well-deserving degrees and awards. I also appreciate the hard work put in by faculty of the university that has enabled the students to acquire the best education, knowledge and skills. I am sure the students will work to uphold the value of education and prove to be worthy alumni of this great institution. I understand that this agriculture college at Coimbatore in
South India's oldest agriculture college and is among the best in the country. I believe its alumni include Dr. M.S. Swaminathan, the father of Indian Green Revolution, and Dr. G. Rangaswamy, a former vice chancellor of this great university. Incidentally, my paternal uncle and my godfather, late Sri N. Sriramareddy, was also an alumnus of this college. He was a freedom fighter and a two-term MP. During 1942 Quit India Movement, he was arrested and kept in Vellore prison for 6 months. This has made me emotionally attached to the state of Tamil Nadu, apart from the fact that my daughter was educated in Ooty. One of India's greatest achievements in post-independence era has been her ability to find adequate food and nutrition for a population that has grown by more than 240% in less than 60 years. At the time of independence, there was many who prophesied that independent India would witness hunger deaths, as in the case of Bengal famine that accounted for a toll of more than 30 lakh people. That India today is combating a high level of buffer stocks of food grains is a testimony to the combined efforts of scientists, farmers, political visionaries and administrators. I take this opportunity to place on record my deepest appreciation to all those who contributed for the food security of the country. I also take this opportunity to express my sincere gratitude to our great leader, late Chief Minister Dr. Y.S. Rajshekhar Reddy, and also to His Excellency, the Governor of Tamil Nadu, Dr. Kozhikode Roshiyaji, the then Chief Minister of Andhra Pradesh. Their contribution for revival of agriculture and the allied activities in our state can be written in gold. It was my good fortune to be the Agriculture Minister of Andhra Pradesh for over 6.5 years in the cabinets of late Dr. Y.S. Rajshekhar Reddy and His Excellency Dr. K. Roshiyaji, the former Chief Ministers of AP. The state targeted an average annual growth rate of 6% for agriculture in the year 2004, when the just warning UPA government targeted 4% for the country. I'm happy to share with you that our state recorded an annual growth rate of over 60% as against nation's 3.5% during the years 2004-2010. This extraordinary performance, which evokes inquiries from none other than the President of India, Her Excellency Srimati Pratibha Patilji, Prime Minister of India, Dr. Manmohanji, and former President of United States, George Bush. This did not happen by merely accident or wishing good. Collectively, we have taken a large number of measures for the upliftment of farmers, which include both fiscal and non-fiscal measures. The UPA government was highly forthcoming. Among the several initiatives taken, the ones worth mentioning are giving free power to agriculture pump sets, waiver of electricity dues, enhancing bank loans from 9,000 crores to 40,000 crores, reducing interest rate to 3%, organizing the seed village program, establishing farmer field schools, conducting frequent farmer awareness camps, appointing 50,000 model farmers, giving 90% subsidy to micro irrigation, designing a special package to families affected by farmer suicides, implementing waiver of loan once and waiver of interest twice, increasing the minimum support price, providing exceptional crop insurance, increasing input subsidies in the event of failure of crop, honoring outstanding farmers on every Sankranti, and strengthening allied activities like horticulture, dairy, dairy farming, fisheries and goat farming. We have brought a whopping 20 lakh acres under irrigation. We have also added 2 universities for horticulture and veterinary to the state, apart from several agriculture polytechnic colleges. Taking the farmers' plight into account, we fought and won the battle against Monsanto, a multinational company, for reduction of BT cotton seed price from 1,850 to ₹750, which greatly helped our cultivators. After becoming the Minister for Revenue under the leadership of our current Chief Minister, Sri Kiran Kumar Reddy, we brought in a legislation to combat the struggle of tenant farmers in Andhra Pradesh. This legislation would enable tenant farmers to avail bank finance, subsidized seed, fertilizers, and input subsidy besides crop insurance on par with owner cultivators. All these have yielded fruitful dividends, but I will not hesitate here to admit that a lot is yet to be done, and we will strive till the end to do the needful. My family has a rich heritage in farming. For this reason, my first commitment and passion has always been towards agriculture, irrespective of my other responsibilities. My father, late Sri R. Kaverappa, who served as a sarpanch for over 35 years, was a progressive farmer. He used to collect cow dung. He used to collect cow dung from the roads in his upper cloth to use as manure in his fields as part of conservation of natural resources. He was the first to use urea and other chemical fertilizers despite the apprehension surrounding them. He was also the first in introducing the Japan paddy cultivation system in the 1960s. My father's brother, late N. Sriram Reddy, established the first milk pasteurizing unit in South India at Bangalore in 1952. He introduced the cooperative agriculture cultivation in my village as early as 1930 when he was studying BSc AZ in this very same university. While he was a student, he collected 2 Yorkshire piglets and multiplied to 400 and sold them in Second World War. All the brothers of my father were involved in the production and making of milk and vegetables in the 1940s itself. We are meeting here at a time when the whole world is highly concerned about food and nutrition security of over 6.7 billion people inhabiting our earth. I believe that nearly 3 billion people will be added to the world population by the middle of this century. That makes agriculture issues more complex and challenges more formidable. The problem will be much more in a country like India, which has only 2.3% of world's geographical area, for a population that constitutes 17.5% of the world population. Given the present population growth pattern, India is soon going to emerge as the world's most populous nation. There is also the problem of climate change and dwindling global tradable surpluses in food grains. This offers both challenges and opportunities. It is now the policy makers and prestigious universities like this have to rise to the occasion and come out with a solution to aid our farmers. Our motto is, save the farmer, he will save the nation. Jai Kisan, Jai Hind.
சென்னை திரு ஆரூரான் சர்க்கரை நிறுவனத்தின் தலைவர் மற்றும் மேலாண்மை இயக்குநர் திரு ஆர் வி தியாகராஜன் அவர்கள் கௌரவ டாக்டர் பட்டம் பெற்ற பின்பு தனது ஏற்புரையில் கூறிய கருத்துக்களை இப்போது கேட்கலாம். முனைவர் ஆர் தியாகராஜன் அவர்கள் தனது ஏற்புரையில் விவசாயிகள் சந்தித்து வரும் பிரச்சினைகளை தெளிவாக குறிப்பிட்டார். தொடர்ந்து கரும்பு சாகுபடியில் விவசாயிகள் அதிக லாபம் பெறுவதற்கான வழிமுறைகளையும் குறிப்பிட்டார்.
Your Excellency, the Governor of Tamil Nadu and Chancellor of Tamil Nadu Agricultural University, Honorable Minister for Agriculture, Government of Tamil Nadu and Pro-Chancellor of Tamil Nadu Agricultural University, Honorable Vice-Chancellor, members of the Board of Management and Academic Council, Honorable Thiru Raghuveer Reddy, faculty members, students, representatives of the media, other dignitaries, ladies and gentlemen. The Tamil Nadu Agricultural University has earned a richly deserved reputation for excellence over its more than 100 years of existence and ranks among the select world-class institutions of the country today. I deem it a great privilege to be chosen to receive the degree of Doctor of Science from such an esteemed institution, which has carved a unique and premier position for itself in the field of agricultural research and development and agricultural education in our country. I accept this honor with a sense of immense gratitude and humility, and am truly gratified to receive this recognition after 3 decades of focused dedication to an agro-based industry. I wish to take this opportunity to place on record my sincere thanks to His Excellency the Governor of Tamil Nadu and the Chancellor of the Tamil Nadu Agriculture University, the Honorable Minister for Agriculture and Pro-Chancellor of the Tamil Nadu Agriculture University, the Vice-Chancellor and members of the Board of Management and Academic Council, for conferring this high honor on me. Throughout history, the agricultural sector across the world has always been called upon to face the tremendous but vital challenge of meeting the food requirements of an ever-increasing population. In 1798, Thomas Malthus, in his essay on population, came to the conclusion, and I'm quoting, that the period when the number of men surpassed their means of subsistence has long since arrived. However, Malthus has since been proven wrong, at least until now. As the Nobel laureate, Dr. Amartya Sen, pointed out 200 years later, world population has grown 6 times since Malthus published his essay. And yet, per capita food consumption had increased along with life expectancies and standards of living had generally improved. This was possible thanks to advances in agricultural know-how and technology, exemplified by the Green Revolution, ushered in by Dr. Norman Borlaug. But the contest between population growth and food supply still continues unabated. In the words of Amartya Sen, it took the world's population millions of years to reach the first billion, then 123 years to get to the second, 33 years to the third, 14 years to the fourth, 13 years to the fifth billion, and so on. The human population today stands close to 7 billion, of whom an estimated 1 billion are undernourished. The challenge confronting agriculture has always been to advance the science and technology at a pace fast enough to feed a rapidly growing population. And to its unending credit, agricultural science has always risen to the occasion and proved itself to be capable of meeting not only the food needs of the human population, but also the feed needs of livestock, and more recently, the energy needs of the world. The most significant breakthroughs and contributions in recent years in this regard have come from genetic science, which has come a long way since the 19th century, when Mendel first identified the laws of crossbreeding plants. Today, most of the world's food crops are grown from hybrid strains. Genetic science has further advanced with the emergence of biotechnology and the creation of genetically modified organisms. Despite the raging controversy surrounding these technologies, many scientists strongly believe that developing plants genetically capable of producing higher yield with lesser fertilizer and water and with greater resistance to pests and diseases is essential to meeting the growing food needs of the future. Agriculture continues to play a major role in India's economy and is vital for ensuring food security, sustainable development, and poverty alleviation. This sector contributes around 20% of GDP, and nearly 60% of the population is still dependent on agriculture for livelihood. But this sector has been confronted with great challenges in recent years. The demand for agricultural products is rising continuously, when at the same time the sector is struggling with declining profitability due to steep increase in cost of inputs and labor, apart from stagnating productivity. Besides, climate change and degradation of natural resources have also taken their toll. These challenges warrant closer cooperation between agricultural research institutions and the agro-based industrial sector to sustain agricultural productivity and production at required levels through technological innovation and adoption, and to achieve input efficiency, better management of natural resources, and climatic resilience. The average annual growth of the agricultural sector registered in the last two decades is less than 3%, as against the planned target of 4%. Hence, the focus of agricultural research and development needs to be reoriented to promote the target growth in agriculture. While the country has made impressive strides since independence in achieving not only self-sufficiency, but also exportable surplus and food grains, the high rates of growth in GDP and per capita income in recent years have created increasing demand not only for food grains, but also for milk, fruits, vegetables, poultry, meat, sugar, etc. In fact, it is reported that growth in demand for cereals during the last decade is only around 11%, whereas it is 30% for vegetables, 40% for milk, 200% for eggs, and 250% for poultry. This differential growth in demand for agricultural produce is also evident in the components of the much talked about high rate of food inflation, where an increase in prices of cereals and pulses are way below the average rate, while that of fruits and vegetables, along with milk, meat and poultry, are much higher than the average rate. With increasing population, increasing diversion of land, water and labor resources for the industrial, urban and service sectors, the critical issue of increasing food production while reducing food inflation can only be addressed through increase in agricultural productivity. In this regard, I wish to acknowledge the invaluable contribution of the Tamil Nadu Agricultural University in evolving the Sustainable Sugarcane Initiative for increasing sugarcane yields by raising sugarcane bud chip seedlings under greenhouse conditions and transplanting in fields for better sustainability. While agricultural biotechnology can provide effective solutions to the country's food security concerns and to the challenge of increasing crop yields to international standards, many other issues mitigate against agriculture becoming a vibrant and dynamic growth engine for the economy as a whole. Farmers across the country are confronted with increasing scarcity of labor for cultivation and harvesting, and this problem has been exacerbated by schemes like MNREGA, which, though well-meaning in attempting to alleviate rural poverty, have unfortunately reduced the availability of farm labor. Unless this scheme is restructured to encompass agricultural activities, it will inevitably necessitate extensive farm mechanization, which, however, will be viable only for large holdings. Thus, decreasing availability of farm labor may eventually result in consolidation of agricultural land. This apart, agriculture happens to be the biggest private sector activity in the country and has to be made a profitable enterprise for the farmer if it has to continue to provide food security. Unfortunately, the farmer is said to be the last person to benefit from a rise in prices, while he's invariably the first to bear the brunt of a fall in prices. Besides, farmers' interests are more often than not made subservient to the consumer interests, as in the case of agricultural exports, which are generally being allowed only after the best opportunity to capitalize on high global prices has been lost. These policy issues need to be addressed as much as productivity issues if the country is to be self-sufficient in food in the future. We at Tiruvaruran have a long-standing tradition of pioneering forays into uncharted territory, starting with the establishment of our first sugar mill in 1956 in the traditional paddy belt of East Tanjavur in the Kaveri Delta. This pioneering venture in growing sugarcane in wetlands proved successful in providing an alternate cropping system for paddy farmers in the Delta region. The challenge in those early years was to change the farming practices and cropping patterns, and this consumed enormous efforts and investments. Again, in 1995, our group pioneered the first large-scale bagasse-based cogeneration project in the country, and this 18-megawatt venture was a forerunner of the highly advanced and thriving cogen sector in the country today. We have since implemented cogeneration facilities in all our sugar mills aggregating to more than 100 megawatts of installed capacity, to capture the value-added potential of bagasse and to better afford the increasing cane prices. Also, it is a matter of great pride for our group that our 40-megawatt cogeneration plant at Pennada is the single largest cogeneration facility in the country today. In the face of acute scarcity and rising cost of labor, our group has once again taken the lead in implementing large-scale mechanization of sugarcane cultivation and harvesting during the last 3 years. During this period, we have imported as many as 30 chopper cane harvesters from Brazil and the United States at a cost of more than rupees 50 crores, and systematic efforts have been put in to change the agronomic practices amongst our farmers to facilitate mechanical harvesting of the sugarcane crop. The introduction of micro-irrigation systems like drip irrigation as an effective tool to enhance sugarcane productivity, besides ensuring water and power savings and more efficient application of fertilizers and micronutrients, is a recent development in the sugar sector. Our group has again been at the forefront of promoting subsurface drip irrigation system for sugarcane farms on a large scale during the last 2 years. We have thus far been able to achieve an extent of 10,000 acres under SSD in the command areas of our 4 factories in Tamil Nadu by extending a subsidy of rupees 30,000 per hectare to the farmers, over and above the subsidy granted by the central and state governments. The laying of subsurface drip irrigation drip systems has enabled our farmers to adopt mechanized farm operations and cane harvesting with ease. Lastly, since sugarcane is a 12-month crop, farmers are subject to financial constraints and liquidity problems in growing sugarcane as compared to short gestation alternatives. Our group is attempting to help farmers overcome this disadvantage by exploring innovative financing options against the standing crop and also for farm infrastructure development to increase area under sugarcane. All the aforementioned initiatives undertaken by our group at the factory and the farms are aimed at increasing the sustainability of sugarcane cultivation. In conclusion, I take the liberty to presume that this honor conferred on me today is in recognition of this pioneering spirit nurtured since the inception of our group and our innovative endeavors in the service of the rural agricultural economy over the past 55 years. Once again, I wish to express my sincere thanks to the Tamil Nadu Agricultural University for this recognition, which will be a source of encouragement in all the future endeavors of our group in agro-based industries. I also wish to take this opportunity to congratulate all the graduating students and wish them a bright and prosperous future. Thank you.
மத்திய திட்டக்குழு உறுப்பினர் முனைவர் கே கஸ்தூரிரங்கன் சிறப்பு விருந்தினராக கலந்து கொண்டு பட்டமளிப்பு விழா உரை நிகழ்த்தினார். மத்திய திட்டக்குழு உறுப்பினர் முனைவர் கே கஸ்தூரிரங்கன் அவர்களின் சிறப்புரையில் வேளாண்மையில் உயிரியல் தொழில்நுட்பத்தின் பங்கு பற்றி மிக தெளிவாக குறிப்பிட்டார். மேலும் வேளாண்மை சந்தித்து வரும் இடர்பாடுகளை பற்றியும் வேளாண்மையில் சந்தித்து வரும் இடர்பாடுகளை பற்றியும் அவைகளை களைவது பற்றியும் அதே சமயம் உயிரியல் தொழில்நுட்பத்தை மிகவும் கவனமாக கையாள வேண்டும் என்றும் குறிப்பிட்டார். வரும் காலங்களில் நீர் ஆதாரம் குறைந்து போகும் சூழல் இருப்பதால் வேளாண்மைக்கு நீரை மிகவும் சிக்கனமாக பயன்படுத்த வேண்டும் என்றும் நீர் வளங்களை பாதுகாக்க வேண்டும் என்றும் கூறினார். மேலும் மண் வளத்தை பாதுகாக்க வேண்டும், அறுவடை பின்சார் தொழில்நுட்பங்களை மேம்படுத்த வேண்டும் என்றும் தனது சிறப்புரையில் குறிப்பிட்டார். இறுதியாக கல்வியின் சிறப்பை பற்றி குறிப்பிட்டு மாணவர்கள் கல்லூரியில் சிறந்து விளங்க வேண்டும் என்று வலியுறுத்தினார். அவர் தமது உரையில் கூறிய கருத்துக்களை கேட்போம்.
I invite the chief guest, Dr. K. Kasturirangan, member, Union Planning Commission, New Delhi, to address the candidates.
Your Excellency, the Governor of Tamil Nadu and Chancellor of the University, Dr. K. Rosaiah, Pro-Chancellor of the University and Honorable Minister of Agriculture, Thiru S. Damodaran, Honorable Minister for Revenue, Relief, Rehabilitation and Urban Land Screening, Government of Andhra Pradesh, through N. Raghuveera Reddy, Thiru R. Vidyagarajan, Chairman and Managing Director, Thiru Aruran Sugars Limited, Dr. P. Murugesha Bhupathi, Vice Chancellor, esteemed members of the Parliament, Legislative Assemblies, members of the Board of Regents and Academic Council, members of the faculty, my dear students, ladies and gentlemen. It's a matter of great privilege and honor for me to be invited to deliver the 32nd convocation address for the Tamil Nadu Agricultural University, Coimbatore. This world-renowned institution owes its humble origin in 1868 as agricultural school at Saidapet. The institute was shifted to Coimbatore in 1905 and eventually rising to the present status of a university by 1971 by a legislative act. Besides imparting education in all branches of study in agriculture and allied sciences, I see that the university also conducts applied, strategic and basic research as well as assist in transfer of technology to the farming community. Through its various agricultural education and research program, the university today is able to meet the human resource needs in a number of relevant areas of the Tamil Nadu agricultural endeavor and also encompassing technology, service, marketing, extension and research sectors. The educational and research program of the university addresses a number of contemporary issues related to improvement in crop yield and quality sustainable agriculture through optimum use of land and water resources, development of agri-tech, biotech approaches for increased farm productivity, as well as innovative outreach strategies for efficient technology transfer. Today, at the national level, Tamil Nadu stands first in the productivity of many crops in agriculture, like sugarcane, groundnut, sunflower, cotton, coconut, grapes, papaya, cabbage, and pomegranate, and second in crops like rice, maize, and tapioca. This achievement is mainly due to the improved varieties and management technologies developed and disseminated by this university. It also has released thousands of crop management technologies to improve the crop productivity. The most popular technologies are the system of rice intensification, sustainable sugar initiative, and precision farming. I'm happy to share this forum with His Excellency Dr. Rosaya, who has always held a strong belief that India's development is critically linked to quality education and developing appropriate knowledge base. The Pro-Chancellor of the University, Thiru S. Damodaran, as the Honorable Minister for Agriculture, has the unenviable responsibility of transforming the state's agriculture into an efficient and sustainable enterprise against several odds and varied types of challenges. We do appreciate the several initiatives taken by this government and himself and in this context by providing new directions and impetus to this important area for ensuring food security and economic prosperity. This university, under the visionary and dynamic leadership of its Vice Chancellor, has embarked on a major task of addressing several challenges related to human resources, knowledge generation, and unique outreach programs. We wish him and his colleagues the best of success in their bold and path-breaking endeavors. I use this opportunity to greet all the members of the staff of the university on this August occasion. Let me at this stage heartily congratulate all of you, my dear young students, who are receiving various degrees, awards and distinctions, and wish each one of you success in your future pursuits. The field you have chosen is very important for the future of India. By virtue of being a predominantly agrarian country, India depends on your innovative and dedicated efforts to ensure the desired economic growth. I should emphasize that the key resources of our society are the youth who have the faith in themselves. At this point, I would like to also bring to your attention, the young students, that you have two people today who have been honored by this university. Each of them is a very good symbol of out-of-box thinking, pioneering steps that they have taken in their chosen field, and ultimately showing success in the specific areas they have chosen. There is a courage of conviction in them that made them what they are today. So I think you have excellent examples which this university has chosen today in trying to drive home the point that there is nothing second to the best that you can do, this excellence that you can display, if you have that same courage as these two awardees who were conferred with the honorary doctorates. And I will also use this opportunity to congratulate both of you on this occasion. My dear students, there are many dimensions to a modern agricultural endeavor that encompasses a broad spectrum of interlinked issues primarily related to overall enhancement of the production and quality levels of a variety of agricultural producers and its sustainability, as well as ensuring the ways and means of reaching the resultant benefits to all segments of the society. In this context, I shall touch upon a few of the not so well discussed issues, but which are of course coming to the focus today and which are therefore extremely important. Biotechnology, this was mentioned by Mr. Tyagarajan, advances have been making revolutionary impact in the fields of food, nutrition, healthcare, and environmental sustainability. Their applications enable crops resistant pests, diseases, abiotic stress, and crop of high yielding variety, all of which assume importance in the context of achieving food security. The first important genetically modified crop approved in India for the commercial cultivation was BT cotton, which is now grown in 80% of the area under cotton. I understand it has become even 95% now, with India's contribution to the global cotton production rising from 14% to today's 20.5%. In view of such potential benefits, research and field trials are extremely benefits. Research and field trials are in progress for a variety of GM food crops, including rice, corn, and few vegetables. I don't have to again re-emphasize the importance in this connection of the debate that has taken place in the recent past on the BT brinjal, the Bacillus thuringiensis brinjal, which of course there has been the pros and cons, and this debate ultimately, the question of whether it is environmentally friendly, whether it is good for the health, what is its long-term impact, and also the question of an unwanted transgene which encodes resistance to certain antibiotics in the human body. These are questions that have been put by people who have been opposing this. On the other hand, the proponents of the GM crops on the head argued that this transgenic crop will reduce the use of insecticide for the most prevalent pest, namely BSFB, by 70% and that for other insects by 42%. Since brinjal is cultivated over a large area, something like 0.55 million hectares in India, with a production of 18.2 million tons, and the pest BSFB causes losses to the extent of 60 to 70%, this development should be welcomed. Of course, I did discuss with some of the agricultural scientists here with respect to the fact that we have something like 2,500 varieties of brinjal. So does this kind of a gene, does it impact on the number of varieties that we have, whether the varietal characteristic of the brinjal, whether it will be affected in the long term? I think they are very categorical in saying that it is quite safe. What is important in the case of such instances is the fact that it is a question of the scientific establishments engaging with the public system, which is limited to a top-down process of communicating and obtaining endorsement of science, which is already planned for implementation when it is already planned for implementation by them. Especially when an interested party like developing organization also performs evaluation, there arise the questions of credibility, genuineness or otherwise. An important lesson from BT brinjal case is the need for an independent agency to evaluate and engage with public groups to assure complete transparency of relevant information and a comprehensive evaluation and compliance. In general, it's also important that there should be a systematic and constant monitoring of GM crops in scientific terms, and the policy making should be guided by such feedbacks for corrective measures. Proper evaluation of the nature of the public's concern, objective responses, and ability to create necessary confidence level with public mind need expertise beyond first pure scientific domain. The need for resultant flexibility in policy measures is central to many areas such as environment, health and safety, where complex interplay of several disciplines is inevitable, and the very revolutionary process of knowledge has to be factored in. This happens in the case of nanosciences. This has happened in the case of you have these atomic power plants. I think the underlying concerns are similar, and so you need a new mechanism in relating some of these major developments which can have some important implications for the country's development with respect to how do you relate this to public views, public concerns, and particularly of safety. We all look back proudly to our Green Revolution, which helped us overcome food shortages and banish the specter of starvation or living from ship to mouth. But today, we find that the regions of the country which witnessed the Green Revolution are suffering from problems of environmental degradation. In many other regions of the country, particularly in eastern India, yields continue to be much lower than what is attainable. More generally, it should be concerned to us that productivity in agriculture has plateaued over the years. As highlighted by our Honorable Prime Minister in his recent speech in the Indian Council of Agricultural Research, we clearly need a second green revolution that is more broad-based, more inclusive, and more sustainable. We need to produce more without depleting our natural resources any further, and we look towards agricultural scientists for ushering this second green revolution. India currently spends about 0.6% of its agricultural GDP on agriculture research and development. This needs to be enhanced to at least 2-3% times by 2020, since a substantial portion of our agricultural growth would come through the application of new technologies and new knowledge to production process. By spending more on research is not enough unless this improves the quality of human resources in all areas of agriculture. The major problem that continue to be of great concern, and I know most of you know this, rapidly decreasing production, reduced productivity of growth of food grains, shrinking water resource, declining soil health and soil productivity, over two-thirds of the area remaining rain-fed with very low or inconsistent productivity, declining farm net return, shortage of farm labor due to mass migration of rural folk to urban areas, increasingly limiting but badly required genetic variability, continued reservation against genetically modified crops, and unfolding adverse effects of climate change. Indian subcontinent is one of the gene-rich regions of the world. Sadly, not even 15% of the available diversity could be utilized for crop improvement. For many problems that pose threat to the agriculture, solutions can be found from gene resources available in the germplasm. Although we succeeded in raising the genetic yield level of major food grain crops through the hybrid technology and dwarf plant type varieties, we have failed in fully realizing their inherent potential, given wide gaps between yields and achievable in the experimental fields and what is actually harvested by the farmers. Of the estimated potential yield of 10 tons per hectare possible in the short statured rice and wheat and hybrids of maize and millets, only one-third to one-half is realized by farmers. Yield gap analysis in rice reveals a gap of 65-30% in irrigated ecology. The prospects of narrowing down the gap is most promising near-term techno strategy. Which we require is the precise diagnosis of the factors that contribute to the gap at the macro level and micro levels. I want to say this in the context because this university really gave the first inputs on the system intensification of SRIs, the rice intensification. Today I hear from some of your colleagues that you have productivity in Tamil Nadu of rice which is almost 7 tons per hectare. It has already risen to that kind of a high level. And of course, we have the potential, as I mentioned, to go up to 7 tons per hectare, even in the case of hybrid rices, as well as Dwar variety. And if you really look at it, China, I think recently they have reported something like 13 tons per hectare. In fact, they have been able to jettison 2 to 3 million tons of hectares of area for other purposes because of the increased productivity. I do know that the Tamil Nadu, right, from 28 lakh hectares, they have come down to 20 lakh hectares in the case of rice. Primarily because of the increased productivity and therefore able to produce more rice in a smaller area. And this is, of course, has to be the strategy in the case of many other areas too. Agriculture accounts for more than 80% of the annually available fresh water. I come to the questions of water. If the prediction that in the next 40 years, per capita availability of water would go down by 40% is to be, this is what the estimates are. Agriculture in general, and rice in particular, would suffer the most. It is therefore important to save every drop of water and enhance water use efficiency. This is achievable only by multi-pronged research and development initiatives. With the saved water, if judiciously used, adopting micro-irrigation devices, one or two life-saving irrigation and can be ensured for rain-fed pulses and oil floods, we can increase their yield by 30 to 40%. The other aspect, of course, is related to the river basin system, creating an optimality in the management of the river basin system. In fact, today space is come to the rescue of looking at the river basin. Something like 60 command areas in the country are observed by satellites, their input water, their distribution in between, and also the water that is available in the downstream. These are very carefully monitored, apportioned, and in principle, the ability to optimize and provide water in a sustainable manner in a river basin system today is possible thanks to the good observational capabilities, modeling capabilities, and also what is going on the ground. Among the developmental interventions of value to agricultural prosperity, rainwater harvesting and its efficient management should receive priority attention. Improvement of storage capacity of existing tanks and watersheds in rain-fed areas, along with adoption of water-saving packages or practices, would help rainwater harvesting more efficiently and utilize the same profitably. Of course, this is one of the areas which we are providing emphasis in the 12th plan. Rain-fed agriculture continues to play a very important role in our economy, contributing to 60% of the cropped area and 45% of the total agricultural produce. Rain-fed areas contribute more than 80% of the pulses and oil seeds grown, as well as a substantial part of the horticulture and animal husbandry produce. The second green revolution that we have been talking about must therefore explicitly embrace dry land farming. Through many technologies have been developed from rain-fed regions, yield gaps continue to be very large, and not enough is being done to identify the most suitable farming systems and to ensure that they are effectively integrated with our watershed development projects. Government of India has attached high importance for rain-fed agriculture and allocated substantial resources for research and development during the 11th plan period. Despite the progress made, the sector faces considerable challenges due to aberrant weather, the droughts, poor resource base of farmers, and declining quality of natural resources. The stakes in this sector are high, as millions of smallholding holders and landless people live in rain-fed area. In fact, this was some of the concern that Mr. Thyagarajan raised when we discussed something related to the small farming, which is a character of the Indian agricultural endeavor. The 2009 drought in several states emphasized the need for continued attention for rain-fed agriculture and management of abiotic stresses like drought and floods, which are likely to be further exacerbated due to the climate change. Although the production of major crops have been at record levels in the year that has just been over, in fact it was 241 million tons, India's agriculture no doubt faces very unique challenges. Though we have achieved self-sufficiency in cereal production, we continue to depend on imports for pulses and edible oils. We continue to face the problem of undernutrition, particularly among our children and women. Ensuring food and nutritional security and eliminating hunger, including hidden hunger, remain high on the national priority. The inclusive strategies of development that we are pursuing should further increase the incomes of the poorer sections of our society. Although food grain production has since regained the requisite momentum, and the agriculture sector as a whole is yet to grow at 3% per annum during the 11th plan, we cannot be complacent. We must know that this is less than the targeted 4%. I expect the 12th plan to contain all the measures that are required to accelerate our agricultural growth rate, which has been placed at 4% for the 12th plan. The institutions need to provide the best academic inputs along with hands-on training to the students. I'm very happy that the ICAR has been alive to these evolving needs and has recently revised syllabi to improve the quality of agricultural education. But much more has to be done. I urge the ICAR and our state government to ensure that our agricultural universities produce enough new scientists with the requisite skills. I also suggest that we re-examine the architecture of agricultural extension services so that our scientists, our administrators, and the private entrepreneurs can together better help farmers to bridge the gap between the yields that are possible and those which are actually achieved. Seed supply system in India is a complex mix of formal and informal components. The informal sector plays a predominant role in the case of high-volume self-pollinated crops such as wheat and rice. The spread is mainly through farm-saved seed, that is seed which is saved directly on the farm on one hand, and through the seed that is obtained through the local trading and exchange. Seeds need frequent replacement, but these turnover rates are very low in the country. It can be improved by increased breeder seed availability, conversion of breeder seed into foundation and certified seed, and effective outlets for where farmers can easily get the seed in time and at affordable cost. In case of hybrid seed, however, the private unorganized sector plays a prominent role in multiplying and scaling up the production of public sector produced hybrids. The potential exists to double the magnitude through the public-private partnership. The integrated and site-specific nutrient management comprises of precise use of chemical fertilizers, micronutrients, and organic manures, depending upon the requirement of soils and the production system. For this, soil testing service has to be strengthened. The soil testing service presently has capability to analyze only 7 million soil samples per annum against 115 million farm holdings in the country. There is a need to establish more soil testing laboratories, at least one each, in different districts and blocks of this country. The availability of micronutrient fertilizers is still not assured in many areas. The fortification of fertilizers with micronutrients holds great promise and requires to be taken up specifically. A host of customized fertilizers suiting our different soil crop conditions also need to be promoted for precise nutrient applications. Post-harvest management of crop, animal, fish produce, including prevention of losses, efficient utilization through diverse technologies, and value addition is one of the areas with great scope for improvement. In fact, we are also looking in a big way an investment in the secondary agriculture with, of course, private-public partnership and many other types of model. There is a need for research on development of bulk handling systems for tropical fruits, vegetables, livestock, fish and poultry products, and also including pre-cooling and storage and post-harvest protocols for sea transport. In order to reduce post-harvest losses at production centers, low-cost, eco-friendly on-farm storage structures can play a crucial role. Significant advancement has been made in that direction, and some small and medium-scale cool chambers on the principles of evaporative cooling have been designed, as well as horticultural and perishable crop communities our concern. A well-orchestrated, integrated research program carried out in the India's agricultural universities, addressing local, regional and national needs, a means of creating a dynamic educational system, part of the contents of which is related to the outcome of the research activity, an extension program that enables the latest agricultural practices to reach the farming community, and creation of new and innovative organizational network that could enable optimum exploitation of land and water resources need to be evolved as a national priority. I am sure these demands make the agricultural activity in India both challenging and exciting. The interdisciplinary character of the agriculture endeavor calls for bringing in synergy between several themes of science, technology, and socio-economic sectors. Dear students, at this point, I would like to take a couple of lines from the President Casper's convocation address at Stanford in 1998, and I quote, "I urge, I implore all of you to be brave and rigorous in your pursuit of knowledge. Your own future contributions to society depend on how well you are prepared. The university's seriousness of purpose must also be yours. The university's commitment to intellectual value must also be yours." As an end note, I would like to offer a paraphrase of a famous Sanskrit verse, "The gift of food is good, but the gift of education is better. For while the gift of food provides momentary satisfaction, education provides eternal, everlasting satisfaction. Yours is an institution which deals with food as a source of survival and sustenance, and also provides education about food which confers the benefit of eternity. So your institution is doubly blessed. May the fruits of its labor accrue to one and all." Thank you very much.
மத்திய திட்டக்குழு உறுப்பினர் முனைவர் கே கஸ்தூரி ரங்கன் அவர்களின் சிறப்புரைக்கு பின்பு பட்டமளிப்பு நிகழ்ச்சி நடந்தது.
Let the candidates be now presented. Dean, School of Postgraduate Studies, Mr. Chancellor, I present unto you 51 candidates in person, 23 candidates in absentia for the degree of Doctor of Philosophy, and 162 candidates in person and 90 candidates in absentia for the master's degree, who have been certified after careful examination to be duly qualified to receive the degrees in different faculties of this university. Thank you.
Your Excellency, the Governor of Tamil Nadu and Chancellor of Tamil Nadu Agricultural University.
Let the candidates stand and take the pledge.
Okay.
We shall, in thought, word and deed, ever endeavor to be scrupulously honest in the discharge of our duties in our profession, and shall uphold the dignity and integrity of our profession and the honor of our university. We shall uphold and advance social order, the well-being of our fellow members, and shall devote all our energy to promote the unity and integrity and the secular ideal of our country. By virtue of the authority vested in me as Chancellor of the Tamil Nadu Agricultural University, I admit you to the degrees of the faculties of Agriculture, Horticulture, Agricultural Engineering, Forestry and Home Science, for which you have been declared qualified in this university and in token thereof, you have been presented with these degrees, and I authorize you to wear the robes ordained as the insignia of your degrees. Let the candidates be seated. I invite the Pro-Chancellor to institute the endowments.
நிகழ்ச்சியில் தமிழக வேளாண்மைத்துறை அமைச்சரும் தமிழ்நாடு வேளாண்மை பல்கலைக்கழகத்தின் இணை வேந்தருமான அமைச்சர் சே தாமோதரன் அவர்கள் புதிய அற நல்கை பரிசுகளையும் பதக்கங்களையும் அறிவித்தார்.
தமிழ்நாடு வேளாண் பல்கலைக்கழகம் 32வது பட்டமளிப்பு விழா நவம்பர் 23, 2011 புதிய அறநல்கை பரிசு அறிவிப்பு. வேத ஆளுநர் மற்றும் பல்கலைக்கழக வேந்தர் அவர்களே, பட்டமளிப்பு விழா உரையாற்றியுள்ள முதன்மை விருந்தினர் முனைவர் கி கஸ்தூரி ரங்கன் ஐயா அவர்களே, சிறப்பு முதுமுனைவர் பட்டம் பெற்று அமர்ந்தெழுந்துள்ள மாண்புமிகு அமைச்சர் என் வி ரகுவீர் ரெட்டி மற்றும் திரு ஆர் வி தியாகராஜன் அவர்களே, பல்கலைக்கழக துணைவேந்தர் அவர்களே, மேலாண்மை குழு மற்றும் கல்விக்குழு உறுப்பினர்களே, பல்கலைக்கழக விஞ்ஞானிகளே, ஆசிரியர்களே, பட்டம் பெற்றுள்ள பட்டதாரிகளே, அவர்களது பெற்றோர்களே, ஏனைய விருந்தினர்களே, இங்கே வருகை புரிந்திருக்கின்ற சட்டமன்ற உறுப்பினர்களே, உள்ளாட்சி பிரதிநிதிகளே, நண்பர்களே, பத்திரிகை துறையைச் சேர்ந்த நண்பர்களே, அனைவருக்கும் எனது உலகமாண்ட நன்றியும் வணக்கங்களையும் தெரிவித்துக் கொள்கிறேன். தமிழ்நாடு வேளாண்மை பல்கலைக்கழகத்தின் 32வது பட்டமளிப்பு விழாவில் கீழ்கண்ட பரிசுக்கான வைப்பு நிதியை அறிவிப்பதில் பெரும் மகிழ்ச்சி அடைகின்றேன். 1. தமிழ்நாடு வேளாண்மை பல்கலைக்கழகத்தின் துணைவேந்தர் முனைவர் ப. முருகேச பூபதி அவர்கள் 1,00,000 ரூபாய் அறநல்கை வைப்பு நிதியாக அளித்துள்ளார்கள். இதிலிருந்து கிடைக்கும் வட்டி தொகுதியை ஆண்டுதோறும் மண்ணியல் மற்றும் வேளாண் வேதியியல் துறை முதலிலே பட்டப்படிப்பில் சிறந்து விளங்கும் மாணவர்களுக்கும் மற்றும் முனைவர் பட்டப்படிப்பில் மண்வளத்தில் சிறந்து ஆராய்ச்சிக்கான மாணவர்களுக்கும் முனைவர் ப. முருகேச பூபதி பரிசு என்ற பெயரில் விருது வழங்கப்படும். 2. இப்பல்கலைக்கழகத்தின் மண்டல ஆராய்ச்சி நிலையம் விருதாச்சலத்தில் இணை பேராசிரியராக பணிபுரியும் முனைவர் எம் எஸ் அனீஷா ராணி அவர்கள் 1,00,000 ரூபாய் அறநல்கை வைப்பு நிதியாக அளித்துள்ளார்கள். இதிலிருந்து கிடைக்கும் வட்டித் தொகையில் ஆண்டுதோறும் பல்கலைக்கழக அளவில் முதறிவியல் பட்டப்படிப்பில் சிறந்து விளங்கும் மாணவர்களுக்கு கம்பம் எம் சையத் முகமது பரிசு என்ற பெயரில் விருதும் மற்றும் மதுரை வேளாண்மை கல்லூரி மற்றும் ஆராய்ச்சி நிலையத்தில் இளமறிவியல் வேளாண்மை பட்டப்படிப்பில் சிறந்த மாணவர்களுக்கு கம்பம் எம் எஸ் ரோஜா தேகம் பரிசு என்ற பெயரிலும் விருது வழங்கப்படும். 3. முனைவர் சிந்தால்பாணி ரவீந்திர ரெட்டி ஹைதராபாத் அவர்கள் ரூபாய் 50,000 ரூபாய் அறநல்கை வைப்பு நிதியாக அளித்துள்ளார்கள். அவ்வைப்பு நிதியின் மூலமாக பெறப்படும் வட்டியிலிருந்து பயிர் நோயியல் மூதறிவியல் பட்டப்படிப்பில் சிறந்த மாணவர்களுக்கு முனைவர் சிந்தல்பாணி ரவீந்திர ரெட்டி பரிசு என்ற பெயரில் விருது வழங்கப்படும். 4. இப்பல்கலைக்கழகத்தின் பயிர் வினையியல் பேராசிரியர் முனைவர் எஸ் மோகனதாஸ் அவர்கள் 50,000 ரூபாய் அறநல்கை வைப்பு நிதியாக அளித்துள்ளார்கள். இதிலிருந்து கிடைக்கும் வட்டித்தொகையில் ஆண்டுதோறும் பயிர் வினையில் டெல்லில் சிறந்த ஆராய்ச்சிகளுக்கான முனைவர் பட்டப்படிப்பு மாணவர்களுக்கு சேலம் ஸ்ரீ கே எஸ் தாஸ் பரிசு என்ற பெயரில் விருதுகள் வழங்கப்படும் என்று தெரிவித்துக் கொள்கிறேன். நன்றி, வணக்கம்.
நாட்டுப்பண்ணுடன் விழா இனிதே நிறைவடைந்தது. நேர்களே, இதுவரை நீங்கள் கேட்டது அண்மையில் நமது பல்கலைக்கழகத்தில் நடைபெற்ற 32வது பட்டமளிப்பு விழாவின் வானொலி தொகுப்பு. நிகழ்ச்சி படைப்பு சமுதாய வானொலி நிலையம். அன்பார்ந்த சமுதாய வானொலி நேயர்களே, நீங்கள் கேட்டுக்கொண்டிருப்பது 107.4 மெகா ஹெட்ஸ் அலைவரிசையில் கோயமுத்தூர் தமிழ்நாடு வேளாண்மை பல்கலைக்கழகத்தின் விவசாயி எஃப்எம்.